You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
Grab your Bible, find the book of Proverbs. I want to talk to you about the path of life this morning. This is the most phenomenal book in the Bible, I'm telling you. Every book I read, I think this is the most phenomenal book. It's like, you know, who's got favorite kids? I do. Four of them. But every time I spend time with one, you know, just one kid, you go, oh, this is so good. I like this kid. And then you spend time with another kid, thinking, this one's not so bad either. It's like that with the Bible. This one, I tell you, this one's cheeky. But you know, you find this is the greatest book. It really is so much fun. So I've got a brand new Bible here, and it just falls open to Proverbs. It's lovely. It won't be like that forever. But right now, I have actually had a head start. I was in Proverbs all last month. So I'm ahead of the game just because I needed to be. You know, the world that we live in is crying out for wisdom. We are living in a world like no other that needs wisdom. I tell you, it's complex, isn't it? Like there are so many, there's such a range of beliefs, of callings, of purposes, of, you know, of just that whole sense of I could go anywhere, do anything, be anything, try and grab hold of causes. I mean, how many causes are on Facebook, GoFundMe, or, you know, change.org? Or, you know, there's so many places where you can get involved with something. So many things to believe in and to fight for. So many situations or contexts or groups. So many directions or beliefs or customs or lifestyle choices, and they come at you fast and they sound so convincing. Oh, I should be thinking more about climate change. I should be thinking more about shopping bags and plastic shopping bags. And, you know, there's something we can believe in, right? Or I'm thick and fast. I need to be believing in people and helping what's going on in our drought and our farming. Like in about a day, you've got 1,000 different things that you should be supporting or helping, right? You find that? So how do we approach our rapidly changing world with a bit of wisdom? Because the world is shifting, like our political world, our landscape. You know, like what is the world going on? Who do I believe in? Who's got it right? Is it left or right wing? Is it in the middle? Is it neither or both? I mean, I don't know. Or the minor political parties. I mean, what do we believe in, and how do we approach that well? What about a social world? Don't we need wisdom in our friendships, in our groups, in our society? You know, who is my friend, let alone who's my neighbor? How do I connect with my friends and the people around me? How do I keep up to date online without losing my soul, without completely getting distracted, but yet knowing that these are precious people that I see on my feed all the time? What about my home and family life? Don't I need wisdom there? People that I live with, the people that I work with. You know, the structure of families is changing rapidly. How do I cope with difference? You know, do I just alienate people who are different from me, or do I approach them? Do I love them? Do I care for them? What happened to TV? Why is it so bad? Why is Netflix the only option these days? Why is it keeping up to date with society? Like, it used to be you just watch a program and everybody around the water cooler at work would talk about it. Did you see such and such last night? Try and do that now. How do I avoid? How do I know what's right and wrong, or wholesome or unwholesome? How do I view this stuff? And what's my role in life at home? Do I cook or do I not cook? Do I change nappies or not? Thankfully, I'm gone. Financial investment world. Don't we need wisdom in our dealings with money? And the future and investing and even just dealing with little things like, you know, how to insure your car. That's tough. I had to wade through my P-plate driver's insurance. Navigating excesses versus premiums. It took me about 3 hours. Wait till they're 30. Don't drive. Tough. Mobile phone plans. Who's got a new mobile phone plan on me? Oh, that's complex. Yeah, whatever it comes. How many gigabits do I need? Gigabytes. Raising kids, how do I do that? Don't I need wisdom today? And how to navigate the screen phenomena? Yeah, every kid's got a screen. I see kids walk down the street like this. I think, look out. You're going to fall over somewhere. What happened to the playground? The trees? The rivers we used to play in as kids? I remember swimming in the Macquarie. Try and do that now. There is no Macquarie. Pace of change in society. So rapid, so fast. We're living in a really rapidly changing world. Incredible. Some industries are simply disappearing. A whole raft of new jobs are being created that we've never even thought of before. So even my career that perhaps I trained so hard at has now disappeared. Not this one. Other ones, you know, changing quickly. They say that the average person will have 7 career changes in their life, let alone job change. Phenomenal pace of change. I need wisdom. Don't we need to understand how to navigate our world? Even the matters of faith, even church has changed. You know, the pews have gone. The robes have gone. I was going to wear a dog collar. I see those on TV. You know, there's I used to have a chaplain at the school I went to. He'd make it out of margarine containers. Because back in the 70s, one was called praise, one was called miracle. I don't know if there's brands of margarine are still around, but that's why he wore them. So I'm going to find one of those shirts and wear them. And so we look for guidance and counsel. In the past, it would have been our parents, wouldn't it? You bring up your mum. Mum, what would you do? Bring up your grandparents. Grandpa, you know, how do you dig a hole? Sorry. Oh, that's bad. Do I have to tell that story? All right, yesterday I was helping my father-in-law practically. And he said, can you dig 13 holes so I can plant some trees? And he even spray painted on the ground where he wanted. First hole, beautiful. Second hole, I hit a water pipe. He's going, oh, I told him that. He wasn't happy. And then fourth hole, hit another water pipe. I said, hey, we'll just, why don't we leave it there for a second? Tough goes wrong. We need wisdom, don't we? How to navigate relationships. But we don't ring people anymore. These things are the non-phones, aren't they? You know, like there's sources. We just Google now. Like we don't need to ring grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle. We just Google. It's easier, quicker. And less complex. Just get on there. But the problem with that is that we lost something in our world. We've lost sense of relational connection. And we've also need to be incredibly discerning. I mean, who says that what is put up on Google is right? People like me who put stuff up on Google. And you and I. And together we don't have the whole picture, do we? We're all kind of on a journey. But I'm telling you, there is a source of wisdom that is way beyond the things of this world. There is a source of wisdom. This source of wisdom is 3,000 years old. 3,000. This book of Proverbs is 3,000 years old. Now that's old. And you might be saying, well, what has that got to do with my life today? Pre all this change I'm talking about. How can a text that's 3,000 years old actually be any relevance to my life today? And what's more, not only is it incredibly accurate, but it's written by somebody who has a lot to say and a lot of credibility himself. His name was King Solomon, third king of Israel after King David. He was probably the wisest man who ever lived. The reason he's so wise is because he had an encounter with God one night. God came to him, and this is in 2 Chronicles 1. God came to him in the night, and he says this, I'll quote it. He says, ask what I shall give you. It's like, what would you do? Ask what I shall give you. What would you do if God came to you tonight? He said, whatever you want, you can have it. What would you ask for? Anything. He says, ask. Now, I reckon Solomon already had a lot of wisdom because what he asked for was incredibly wise. And it takes wisdom to ask for wise things, right? But I reckon as a child of King David, he probably would have picked up a thing or two. And this is what he asked for. He says in verse 10, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before his people. For who can rule this great people of yours?" He's just been appointed king. How do I do this, God? How do I lead and rule these people without wisdom? And then God said to Solomon, "Because you have this in mind and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, nor have you even asked for long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may rule my people over whom I've made you king. Wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you." That's great. But here's one more. "And I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you have possessed, nor will those who come after you." Good answer, Solomon. Good answer. Tick. Got the wisdom, became the wisest person who ever lived, and became the wealthiest. Unfortunately, the disclaimer in this story is that Solomon's life didn't end well. He actually ended up making poor choices. That's a whole other story, but just hang that somewhere. He didn't always follow through on his wisdom. He perhaps got tangled up in his wealth and his prestige and the things that he was fueling his world with. It's actually how you end well, isn't it? That's the greatest testimony. I want to be someone who finishes well, even if it's not the stature of Solomon. But as I read through Proverbs, and I have again this last month, and as I've read and I've digested it, I've just been so struck by the gold, the wisdom gold that's in this book for today, that's directly applicable today. It's phenomenal. Like wealth. Like a framework on wealth. How's this for an incredible thought? It says, "Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I may not be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Like to have too much. Or that I might not be in want and steal and profane the name of the God." Look, what an incredible framework to live in. Not to pursue money and endless wealth, because I might forget the source of that wealth. Or not to be in so much poverty and need that I have to steal, or you know, that poverty consumes me so much. He says, just put me in the middle. What a great framework for wealth. So many other things like raising kids. That hasn't changed in 3,000 years. He says, "Correct your son or your daughter, and he will give you comfort, and he will also delight your soul. You want a child that delights your soul, then discipline's required." That's ancient wisdom for a modern world. We live in a world that is a little bit hands-off with discipline. I'm telling you, Solomon saw it. Don't be afraid to do that. Sorry, kids. But it's good for you. A work ethic. You see right through Proverbs. I'm going to preach on this in 2 weeks. A work ethic. It says, "Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Actually, being diligent, using your hands, working with your hands, is a pathway to wealth. But negligence and laziness, you see right throughout Proverbs, is going to make you poor. Seeking advice. Don't we need advice in our age? He says, "For wise guidance that you will wage war, and in an abundance of counselors there is victory." If you're going to make decisions in life, get an abundance of counselors around you. Get people in your world who can speak into you. That's relevant for today as much as it was back then. Generosity and looking after the poor. It says, "He who gathers increases his wealth by interest and usury, gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor." Interest and usury was when they collected money and charged interest on that. Back in Israeli times, they didn't want that to happen amongst the people of God. They said, don't charge other people interest when you loan money. Just keep it as a gift. He says, if you do that, you're basically stockpiling your money for people who are gracious to the poor. So much encouragement in Proverbs about looking after people who are less fortunate. And that will fuel your financial world at the same time. It's amazing. Friendship. There's gold in here on friendship. Friend loves at all times. That's what a friend is. Someone who loves even when you're having a bad hair day or a bad something else day or just, you know, a bad month or a bad year. A friend sticks by you. Doesn't flick in and out. Promotion. You want to know how to get promoted at work? Tells you in Proverbs. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Get skilled. Get good at something. Become skilled with whatever calling, whatever gifting you've been given. You will see. It says you'll stand before kings. You'll get that sense of promotion. And so it would be easy to think, and there's way more than that. It's just a snapshot. It might be easy to think that all I've got to do is apply the wisdom. So I'll just find wisdom in here. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Okay, so I've got to go and work my land. I don't have much land. You know, like you could try and apply every bit of scripture like that, but you know the problem with that? Is that it's actually almost impossible to do everything that you want to do in life. It's the motivation factor. It's the willingness. There are some superhuman freaks amongst us who are always motivated and who never have any problems in applying some good principles. But for most of us, trying to do what's right is sometimes hard. Anyone with me? Yeah. Not just me. It's good. Like I mentioned, the swimming. We swim 3 mornings a week. We do. 6 o'clock, a K each. And you know, in winter, our garage is gone. Someone took it. So our cars are outside, frosty. The motivation factor, like, it's just that extra step, isn't it? If we lived in Queensland, it'd be different. You just walk out and go. But see, we live in Bathurst, so you've got to scrape the ice off the car. You've got to find the car to start with. And then I left it here somewhere. So there's mornings where we look at each other and Ro might say, I'm not feeling so well. I go, no, you don't. You just stay here and I won't go because I won't want you to feel bad. And to be honest, both of us have that tussle. Anyone ever struggle with exercise? Steve Dunstall's back. I mean, you are one of these freaks who never has a problem. But see, how true is that in life with all of our things? Like, I know that I should be a good friend, but you know what? He unfriended me. Yeah. I know I should be better at the skills. You know, I should be working hard at my skill and stand before kings, but you know what? It's so hard. And, I'd rather watch Netflix. So hard, you know, the direction in life. I know I should ask people and get counselors around me, but you know what? I just think I'll make that call myself. So, even though the wisdom is here in this book, that's not the problem. The problem is the application of that wisdom. It's trying to make that into my world. And there is no easy way around it, to be honest. Because there are people around us who look like this. They've got nothing to do with church or don't even know God, but their lives, they shine because they're honest and hardworking and generous and think, how can I help this person? They're doing it better than me. But there's a secret here. There's a secret to actually making this thing work. This secret takes us beyond the motivation to try and apply good principles. And it takes us way deeper and way more powerful than we could ever do ourselves. And once you've learned this secret, it fuels you. And it takes you all by itself. Once you've understood the secret of Proverbs, suddenly you'll find it growing all by itself without you having to push hard and try hard. Once you've realize what the secret is. You've got to see results in the wisdom of your world and in your family and your context. And I'm actually willing to share that secret with you this morning. Anyone like to know? Because I think it's a secret to applying all kind of knowledge. In fact, I think it's a secret to anything in the Bible. Not sure about the eagerness in the room. Here it is. The path is a person. When we talk about the path of life, it's not some random path. It's not some call of God that I need to track on. You know, it's like climbing a mountain. I think, what's the will of God for my life? Ever heard that saying? What's God's will for my life? Well, if you found that out, I'd love to chat with you. You can help me on this. Because I'm not sure that there is this thing, actually. I know that there are callings and abilities and, you know, directions from God. Absolutely. Don't doubt that. But as for a roadmap, like a GPS-style roadmap where, you know, you type in, I want to go to here, and I'm here, and you hit the magic button that goes start, and you know, tracks out this one. This will be 3 minutes faster. This will be 5 minutes faster. And the blue line is one you want to go on. I haven't found the blue line of life. Because I didn't think that God works that way. Because if he did, guess what? We wouldn't actually need God. I do think, though, that the path is a person. And the navigator sits with us and guides us as we travel. And sometimes we get a sense of that destination. We get a sense of what we're going to do along the way. But as for a detailed point-by-point description, you will go here when you turn 23, you will get married to this person. And then 2 years later, you will have children. And then you have a job. Then you move to this place over here. And then, you know, and then you'll die. I don't know if I want a life like that. That takes out the adventure of the journey, doesn't it? And it takes out our dependence on God along the way. Because if I had that map, I'd just go, thank you very much, God. I'll sort it. I'm off. But what if I get halfway down and I don't follow the blue line? Am I outside of the will of God then? And can I get back on the blue line? And what if I can't? What if I can't find the motivation to step back into the journey? Does that mean I just stay forever off the plan of God? And what if while I'm off the plan of God, life moves on and something else happens and suddenly I feel, and there are people, maybe you're here this morning and you feel like that. There are people who feel like I can never get back on to my walk with God because I've gone so far away, taken too many turns. And life moved on, and I'm still here. Good news for you this morning. Talk about the path of life. It is not a blue line like a GPS. The path of life is a person. And the person's name is Jesus. And Jesus is your path. He is the one who will help you. He is the one who will guide you. He is the one who will go with you. He was there, Proverbs 8. Read some things. Proverbs 8, you'll read it in 3 days' time. I'm getting ahead. You see, when there was no depth, I was brought forth. This is Jesus. When there were no springs abounding with water before the mountains were settled, while he was not yet made, the earth and the fields, nor the dust of the world, I was there when he established the heavens. I was there when he made the firm skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundary. I was there. I was beside him. A master workman, and I was daily his delight. It's phenomenal. Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus created the universe. Jesus was not invented to solve the human dilemma. It wasn't like, well, let's try the Noah's flood. That didn't work. Let's try Moses. That didn't work. You know, the Old Testament is like that, isn't it? Let's try Joshua. Maybe he'll know. Oh, I know. Let's invent the Son of God. And at Christmas time, 0 BC, he'll come down as a baby. Not how it was. He was there in the beginning. Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was in the beginning, making and creating and setting up the universe. He was there in the beginning before the foundation of the world. Guess what he thought about and designed? You, me. Before anything was created, he knew you. He formed you deep in his world, his mind, his spirit. He's thinking of Ian Gordon. He'll be living. Bathursts. Going to get married to beautiful Rosemary. It's awesome what you guys shared the other night. Very powerful. You see, wisdom is the path of life. And the path of life is Jesus. You see this throughout the Bible when you start to look for it. Not just information, not just good things to apply to your world. His direction is a person. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah is talking about a covenant, an agreement that God will have in his people. He says, this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. He's talking, pointing forward to the time of Jesus. He says, I'll put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. Jesus writes his ways and his decrees on our hearts, not in text. He says, they will not teach again each man his neighbor, verse 34, and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me. They will all know the path of life. They'll all have God on the inside of them. Isaiah 30 takes it on further. He says, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Wherever you turn, to the right or to the left. He's talking about a time where as we make paths and decisions, that we'll just have path of life in our spirit. Hey, you should turn left here. Hey, you should go right here. Hey, you should get married. Hey, you should buy this house. Hey, you should study this. Hey, you should move over here. Jesus modeled this when he was on earth. Did you know that? Jesus followed his Father's will. Everything he did, he says, I only do what my Father shows me to do. In fact, he said, I only speak what my Father asked me to speak. His words that I have are not my own, he says, they are from God. And so he's listening to the words of God, guiding him, instructing him. Even Jesus himself modeled this from his Father. What an awesome way to live. And so suddenly, I'm walking down the path of life and I need wisdom for my children. I need wisdom for my context. I don't have to just apply the words. I can ask the path of life, Jesus inside of me, to help me, to guide me. Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. That's you and I. And I know them and they follow me. Jesus says, they will listen, they will hear. And then he talks about a time when the Holy Spirit will do the same thing. The Helper in John 14, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Isn't this more exciting and more able to be carried out than depending on my motivation or my ability to do things? Suddenly, the supernatural power of God working through me, directing my path, is leading me down the path of life. I see a church with answers. I see a church able to speak into our context. In all that confusion and chaos that we started with, I see a church with clarity. It says, hey, I know a path. I know a way. His name is Jesus. I know what's right here. I know what we should be doing because there's something grounded inside of me. There's something full. I see lives going from strength to strength. I see lives that increase and are more generous and more hardworking and better with their families and better with their children. I see us going from strength to strength because we read and we understand and we walk. And I see a contagious desire to walk right. This desire to be right. Not arrogant righteousness, you know. There's too much of that in our world. I'm talking about making firm decisions about what's right and wrong and sticking to it no matter the cost. That's the path that leads to life. Three things, just in finishing. Three helps that you will have on this path of life. The first one is really obvious. You need to know the path of life, the person of Jesus. You need to know him. If you don't know him, then you're going to be stuck left, some kind of religious person, trying to apply things and improve yourself. Start with a knowledge. Get to know Jesus, the path of life. Secondly, read the words that he left us. Like, really, read them. I've seen some statistics out of the US that shows how much of the Bible Christians actually read. I know it's different here. But you know, the lack of biblical understanding in the Christian world globally is scary. It's really scary. Like we have been left with the words of life. Let's use it. Let's make a point. Just keep going. And we all sleep in. We all go through those days. But just keep. You will find something stirring on the inside of you when you read that. It's not just any old book. This is God's word to us. And what it does to us is it starts to feed us on the inside. It starts to stir us. It's not just a mental agreement. There's a leap inside when I read these things. Yes. Oh, that's possible. Thank you, God. It's something that builds when we engage with the word of God. Get to know Jesus. Get to know his word. Start with Proverbs. Join us. Post stuff. Engage with stuff. And lastly, simply stop and listen sometimes. Sometimes we don't even ask the question of what should I do next. We don't even ponder that. What, God, what do you think? What do you say? Life is not a blue line just to walk along blindly. It's a relationship with the King of Kings. And as you're walking, God, give him room. Give him permission to interrupt your world. Let him speak into your world. Let him nudge you and say, hey, left, right, that person, not that person, that door, not that door. Let him move you. And when you do that, you apply the words that are here and you stand on and you'll find that there's something solid there. It's firm because it's in God's ways. It's why you got to get to know this book, because when you hear God, that will align completely with the Bible. Won't be any confusion. You will get advice at each turn. Your life will shine. Your life will stand out, whatever context you have. And people will come and say, hey, how come? Like Solomon, maybe the Queen of Sheba is about to come. Investigate your wisdom.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org. Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in you.